Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, friends. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, especially as we're coming into this fourth Sunday of Advent. Oh man, this is such a great time of year. I love this time of year. I mean, we've got the O Antiphons going on, which is just fantastic. I love the O Antiphons, just the countdown coming up to Christmas, where we're kind of, I think we kind of immerse ourselves. This is the feeling I always get. We immerse ourselves in kind of this darkness, this close darkness. And we are just longing for the light and the joy and the peace and the love, the fulfillment that breaks forth in the coming of Jesus as we celebrate his birth at Christmas. But more about that, of course, next week. We got to stay focused. We're still in Advent. And as we are rolling into the fourth Sunday of Advent here, here's some great ways to keep our minds on it. Holy Mother Church has given us in our gospel lesson this Sunday, given us the text of the Annunciation, which, by the way, is a wonderful way of bridging the gap a little bit, at least, with our Protestant brothers and sisters who may take different views on Mary and be a little suspicious about how our Blessed Mother actually, the role that she plays in our lives of faith. But the Annunciation is right there in Scripture, of course, and it certainly sets her apart, and it's a great way to celebrate together with our Protestant brothers and sisters the gift that our Lord has chosen to give us through this blessed woman, who is indeed full of grace, as the Archangel Gabriel addresses her with that. Just a couple of thoughts about that. You know, one of the things, of course, that Gabriel says to Mary is, "The Lord is with you," and that's actually reflected in our first Old Testament, or in our first reading, our Old Testament reading this Sunday, when we're reading from 2 Samuel, and we're reading about the prophet Nathan speaking to David and saying, "Do whatever you please." David's talking about maybe building a house for the Lord, and Nathan says, "Do whatever you please, for the Lord is with you." Now, God has something that he wants to say in response to that. He tells Nathan, "Wait a minute, just hold on a second here. I'm the one who's building the house for you." And it's just one of those reminders that, of course, when the Lord is with us, that he will do it. He is the one who takes the initiative out of his great love for us, out of his great love for all of the world, that he gives of himself, and he is the one who takes initiative. Our response is, our action is always in response to God's initiative. God is always the one who is acting first, and we respond. Of course, Scripture tells us that we actually have the ability to love. We actually can practice love because God first loved us. So that's from our Old Testament reading. And then, of course, as I said here in the Gospel story, Gabriel says to Mary, "The Lord is with you. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." And the great gift of Christmas is, remember, it is Emmanuel, that God is with us indeed. And that that is such a great thing to reflect upon as we head into this week leading up to our celebration of Christmas, that the Lord is with us. God is with us. Are you feeling isolated? Are you feeling alone? Are you feeling lonely during this time of separation and social distancing and all that sort of thing? Maybe canceled Christmas celebrations, canceled times together with family. Just a reminder that when God is with us, then no one can be against us. There is just nothing that can have the final victory over us, because our God is indeed with us. Our God is with us. And of course, the Annunciation sets up well, just to throw this in, the collect for the day, which if you pray the Angelus regularly, you will recognize the collect for the fourth Sunday of Advent. And it's a beautiful prayer, and I look forward to hearing it in Mass every time we roll up on this great time of year, this great fourth Sunday in Advent. All right, so we've got a great show, as always, coming up again today. We've got Maria Wearing sitting down with Nancy Banjuch, who's with Catholic Sprouts. We had her on a couple months ago, but they have some new Christmas resources available, so they're going to be talking about that. A little bit later on, Susanna Parent and Crystal Crocker are going to be with us to talk, to reminisce, really, about the Rediscover Hour a little bit more as we are winding down our time in the Rediscover Hour. And we'll start up in 2021 with a rebrand. We'll call the show Practicing Catholic at that point. And then Barbara Dries and Elizabeth Hollett are with us to talk to us about this Cathedral Illuminated Light Show, a great way to experience and to live out the Christmas message and to share that with others. So that's what's coming up on the Rediscover Hour. Let's, as always, hear pause at the top of the show, giving the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, as I said, Maria Wearing sat down with Nancy Banjuch, and she is going to tell us a little bit about some new Christmas resources they have. Let's have a listen.
Hi, Nancy. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Maria. I am so excited to be here.
So you launched Catholic Sprouts a couple years ago to help families build their own domestic church. So tell me, first of all, what do you mean by domestic church?
Well, so it's just a new way to think about our homes and our families. JP2 talked about the family as the little church. You know, they kind of have the big church, capital C, but then the family is a little church with a lowercase c. And just everything that we do when we go to our parish building and worship God, you know, connect with Him, allow His grace to flow into us, that all of those things are things that we can and should be doing in our homes, you know, and that in the home is where we learn to live the sacramental life, you know, where we learn to live out those baptismal promises, where we practice forgiveness more times than we thought possible, you know, where we truly do live with Christ inside of us. And so it's just that idea that that 1 hour a week at the big church with a capital C, that's not what we're called to do exclusively as Catholics. We're called to live in a church always with our family. So that's just kind of a new way of looking at the family, that it is a little church, that it is the sacraments lived together. Imperfectly, if you're us, but, you know, new day, trying again, live those sacraments together at home. And we've all been spending so much time at home that, you know, it's a great reminder this year that being home is still being in the church.
Oh, that's so true. And I love that idea of the little church. So how does Catholic Sprouts aim to meet the needs of Catholic families? Tell me just what it all entails.
Sure. So it all started a long time ago, a couple years ago. So my kids, we started using this podcast for them to brush their teeth, and it's just 2 minutes, and, you know, they turn it on and they learn like some factoids while they're brushing their teeth. And I just thought, you know, at the time I was really struggling with not fulfilling being the type of Catholic parent that I had assumed I would be before I became a Catholic parent. You know, you can assume that like teaching the faith is going to be this organic thing and you're going to be good at it and calm and just weave it into life. And then life starts and, you know, there's always someone screaming and you get to the end of the day and you realize you didn't do anything and you feel terrible. And I was sick of feeling that way, honestly. And so I thought, well, you know, they're listening to this podcast, so they brush their teeth. Wouldn't it be cool if there was something that they could listen to that was short and that, like, we could listen to together? So, like, I can still be scooping out oatmeal while they're listening. I don't have to, you know, we don't have to sit down with the craft supplies or something, but they just listen and then we talk about it. And there wasn't anything like that. So I honestly started recording Catholic Sprouts. It's a daily podcast, just about 5 minutes long. I recorded it for my own kids, really believing if only these five children hear this, at least I will be like doing what I'm called to do as a Catholic parent, to catechize, you know, and then to introduce topics that we can talk about, you know, whether it's biblical stories or saint stories or concepts from the catechism or the creed or whatever, at least like we're having that discussion. So I just started recording because my kids listen to my recorded voice better than they listen to my real voice. And then we started listening and I put it out there. And what's incredible is that it's so validating to know that the struggles that I was having, you know, in my failure to catechize, in my failure to like do those Catholic lessons amid the messiness of life, like others were having those struggles too. And what's incredible is I think almost like 7,000 families listen every day, which is crazy. And it's so validating to me. It's like, yep, you're in it too. Like, let's listen together. And the other thing that's been incredible, I think no one is, you know, everyone knows this is true, is that we have generations of Catholic parents that had poor formation, you know, whether it's that they didn't have good formation, or in my case, that it was poorly received, you know, that you sat there in CCD classes with your arms crossed and you know, eye rolling the whole time. And so I feel like there's many Catholic parents that don't know the faith and feel unmotivated or insecure about learning it. And so what's interesting is I get emails all the time being like, you know, it's so good. I get to sit with my kids and actually learn the faith. And I just think it's been such a reminder to me that that's how we learn in a family. We learn together. We don't learn by standing and lecturing, but we learn together. So it's been completely spirit-led, and we'll see where it goes from here. But it's just supposed to be just a little dose of Catholicism, the beauty, bringing the beauty of our faith into those little in-between moments. And, you know, and God does all the work because it's all His truth. So that's kind of where it started.
As a mom of little kids myself, I relate to so much of that. So here we are now in the middle of Advent, and this is a time in the year that's chock full of things that families can do to help their children prepare for Christmas. And it's even can be overwhelming as a mom to want to do all the things and realize that, you know, a week has gone by and you haven't lit your Advent candle at dinner the way you had planned or something like that. But what resources are available from Catholic Sprouts to help families finish out their Advent and then go into their Christmas day and the Christmas season?
Sure. So, you know, there are so many things to do in Advent. I would say like my number one advice, especially with just 1 week left until Christmas, is to do something every day at the same time. To even if it's been like, you know, a hot mess Advent up until this point, just decide we're going to set a routine and we're going to do night prayer every night. It doesn't have to be a very big thing. It can even be we're going to light the candles every night. We're going to sing O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, and we're going to do prayer intentions in our family. Like that is a beautiful thing. As we have 5 children, 3rd grade and down, and I am a big believer in like quality over quantity when it comes to family prayer. You know, praying a family rosary is beautiful and we do it from time to time, but it can be torture. So really give, you know, just think every day from now until Christmas, we're going to light the candles. We're going to sing O Come Emmanuel and we're going to do intentions. You know, and there are so many things that we can do. On our website, we offer something called the Names of Jesus, an Advent countdown that you can easily jump in on right now. Just really saying those great titles that we have for Jesus Christ as a way of getting to know Him better and welcoming Him. It's totally free. Anyway, there's tons of things, but I really revel in the way that our church calls us into the season through our senses, through the darkness, the candlelight, that, you know, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. It's just such an Advent song, you know, that longing, that even that melody. So anyway, my mantra in parenting is like, let the past failures just be in the past. Let's start today. Let's make this day, you know, what I wanted it to be, because the devil is such a jerk and he loves to just rub your nose in your failures and paralyze you from doing what you need to do today. So just these last 5 days of Advent, let's do all, you know, just do those little things and make it Advent.
So what's your advice for helping Catholics celebrate Christmas through the entire Christmas season? It's so easy to just chuck the tree to the curb on the 26th and to forget that we have 12 days and then even a little bit more, that's the Christmas season.
It is hard, you know, and I'll say even someone that like thinks about this ahead of time, I'm tired. But I guess what we have found successful is to really look at, you know, that octave of Christmas, you know, the first week. And we think, okay, Jesus is here. This is the time of the Holy Family. And so what we do is we try to do something fun as a family every day. And you know, last year when things were open, we would go to like the science museum or do some fun outing like that. Now that everything isn't, maybe it's as simple as a board game or, you know, an obstacle course in your basement as a family. But just that's, I think, what we're going to do this year is just, okay, we're celebrating Jesus here with his family. We're going to do something as a family every day. And if you're a great family and you already do that, then maybe you have to think of something else. But we're, you know, a whole day can go by and we didn't do anything as a full family. So that is an actual challenge for us. But I think, you know, we need to stop beating ourselves up. Just remembering it's Christmas, even singing a Christmas song every day can go a long way. Like you said, keeping the Christmas tree up for a while, not pulling down the lights immediately. Just keeping those things up, singing a song, that can go a long way too.
Yeah, I love that. Not the pressure of having to also just take everything down and go back to normal, because I think that we all of the anticipation of Advent builds up to this, you know, and so, you know, not being tempted to just kind of let it fizzle out. So one very cool new offering from Catholic Sprouts is a book called Saints Like Me, Great Black Catholics. And I think it would make a great gift for under the tree. But where did this idea come from? It's just super timely. And why was it important to make available now, right before Christmas?
Well, we were hoping to make it available a little bit before, but you know, the world is moving a little slower than we would like. But so we have really dear family friends from when we lived in Kansas City, and they were infertile and they had to adopt all five of their children. And four of them are Black, just like this beautiful Catholic family. I really aspire to be like these parents. They're just incredible. So anyways, they were visiting us for their spring break, which was right before the whole world flipped upside down. And Ruby, she's in third grade this year. She was sitting with my little Josephine, who's named for St. Josephine Paquita. And they were making saints out of perler beads, which is just what we do in our house. And so she was putting her together and I was doing a million things. And I looked over and I saw that Ruby had made her skin white. And so anyways, I was talking to Ruby. I was like, Ruby, you know, she had Black skin like you. And she looked at me, and she's in third grade and has a Catholic education and incredible Catholic parents. And she said to me, she just said, but she's a saint. And of course, then things happened, and this was a conversation for her parents to have with her. But, you know, I said, Rubes, she's a saint, and she has skin just like you. She looked just like you. And anyway, it just was this, like, gut dropping moment where I feel like I could glimpse into, you know, because we can talk all about like, oh, being colorblind or inclusive or whatever. But I just think we need to like pause and realize how different churches and the world, the Catholic world, can seem to a Black child. You know, like we all intellectually know there are Black saints and everyone is equally called to holiness. But I just think for a Black child growing up in a parish where every statue is white, every stained glass window is white, where the saint books that you're given, like predominantly white, I just think we need to be, it was a time to be overt, to be obvious, you know, to really point it out. And I know it's painful and we're all sort of dealing with all sorts of feelings around that, but I just really wanted to create something for people, for kids like Ruby to be like, you are called to holiness. And I want to make that very obvious. And I think it's also important for my own children, who of course aren't Black, just to really I mean, all the saints that we included, we actually included venerables, blesseds, and saints, just to really, like, these are beautiful stories and incredible people. And like that alone, doesn't matter what they look like, let's celebrate them. But also just like, let's all remember how beautifully diverse heaven is. It's going to be such an incredibly diverse, wonderful place. And let's celebrate that. And what's exciting is like, this is the first book we actually just sent Latino saints to the printer. We're going to print that in English and Spanish. Just to really celebrate all of the great Latinos. And some of them, I mean, me as an American, I've never even heard of. But if our church is half speaking Spanish right now, even in the U.S., I think it's important. And then we're working on great Asian saints, you know, talk about heroic people in, you know, in all those various Asian countries that gave their lives for the faith. After that, we're going to work on saints like me, saints with disabilities, you know, Catholics, great Catholics with disabilities, people that were blind, had learning disorders, all of those things. I just think we're really on a mission to make sure, even if we have to be very obvious about it, that no matter who you are, God is calling you to a specific mission. God is calling you to holiness. God wants to use you. And, you know, for some people, maybe they don't need that heavy-handed approach, but I just, that's really our mission. No matter who you are, what you look like, what you've been through, what you've experienced, here is something that is going to make it obvious that you too are called to holiness, because others just like you have answered that call.
Oh, that's so important and so beautiful. So just in a little bit of time we have left, tell me how, for parents who want to make a point in this new year in 2021 of teaching their children more about the saints and Jesus and his church, where do you start?
So our big thing is that the best way to teach the faith in your home is through conversation. That's the best thing to do. It's not about turning on a YouTube video or buying books. It's really about having those faith conversations at home. If you feel like you can't get the conversation started, then we encourage you to use, you could use one of our resources like our free podcast, listen together and talk about it. Like the actual research, there's some great research coming out of Notre Dame shows that if a family talks about the faith with an authentic way, then those kids will remain Catholic. Like the statistics are amazing. Talk about the faith. Talk about Advent. Talk about your struggles. Talk about, you know, the good and the bad. Talk about it. So that's to me the ultimate thing. Make sure that you are talking about the faith in your little church at home.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy. It's just been a pleasure to talk with you today and to learn from you and to know that those wonderful Catholic resources are available at Catholic Sprouts. So thank you, and have a beautiful rest of your Advent and a Merry Christmas season.
Thank you.
All right. Wow. What a great interview. Thank you, Maria, for doing that. Thank you, Nancy, for being part of that. If you're interested in some of those resources Nancy was talking about, just visit CatholicSprouts.com. We're going to head into our first break. When we come back, Susanna Parent and Crystal Crocker are with us, and they're going to be talking to us and reminiscing a bit about the Rediscover Hour. So please stay with us. Rediscover.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
Thank you so much for all that you do for all of us. And you touch all of our lives in so many ways, and probably ways you don't realize. I've been a listener for over 10 years, and it's amazing.
Powered by you, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
What do you think the greatest act of love that we could do right now would be? I think it is to help other people know Jesus Christ. Well, how can I do that? Well, it's simple. You know, you invite people. You talk about your faith. You share things. You don't have to do it perfectly. And then the other thing you need to do is you need to support organizations who are doing good work, like Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123.
I'm living a long, long life, and I will not let you go. Taking a long, long time to get here.
Welcome Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Up next, Crystal Crocker is the president of SEND, the Center for Evangelization and Discipleship, a nonprofit organization seeking to assist parishes in attracting new young people and young families into the life of the church. Of course, she was formerly the director of the Office of Evangelization here in the Archdiocese. She's married 34 years to Tracy with 4 children and 6 grandchildren. And also Susanna Parent is with us, who's a freelance writer living here in the Twin Cities with her husband and daughter. And Crystal, welcome to you.
Thank you, Patrick. It's good to be together again.
I know. It's good to have you on the show. And Susanna, you're there too. Welcome.
Hi, good to hear from you.
Yeah.
Hi, Susanna. The gang's all here.
That's right. We're getting the band back together. Excellent. So, Crystal, let's start with you. As we were talking a little bit, we're just reminiscing here. As I think most of our listeners are aware, we are rebranding. We're moving away from the Rediscover Hour, and starting January 1st, we'll be known as Practicing Catholic. But, you know, a lot of good things have gone on here in the Rediscover Hour, and yeah, Crystal, why don't we start with you just a little bit about, had you done any work with radio shows prior to inheriting the Rediscover Hour as your role in the as the director of the Office of Evangelization?
No, I did not. I relied heavily on prayer and God and you and Susanna, for sure. I think when I first started, Jeff Cavins was the host. And I really got thrown into Rediscover when I was the chairperson for the 2014 Catholic celebration that we held at the Minneapolis Convention Center. And we had a lot of enthusiasm for the Rediscover program then, with 7,000 Catholics attending the weekend convention there. And Elliot Morris had created a song for especially the Rediscover movement, and then we also used it as the lead-in for the radio show. So when we recruited you to come on board, Patrick, which that was such a blessing, you have just really taken the mantle and the leadership of hosting this show and doing great things with it. But Susanna, for sure, was also a driving force behind that. She had had some experience before I was the director, and so I leaned on you, both of you, and we really felt strongly at the time to continue the progression forward with Rediscover, knowing that there might be a time for transitioning. And so I'm happy to hear that you've got a great title and sounds like a new song for moving forward in evangelization, and probably with the vision of the bishops for the synod too.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for your kind words. I appreciate that. Susanna, what about you? Yeah. How did you get involved with the show initially?
Oh, yeah. I remember that Rita Baby was originally the one who was producing the Rediscover Hour, and she asked me if I would, you know, be able to cover for her for a couple of shows when she was out, and I was super intimidated. I was like, oh, my gosh, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm going to do this. But she was super helpful, and you know, she trained me in very well, so I would shadow her. And that was back when Jeff Cavins and Corey Regan were hosting together.
Sure, yeah.
And so I got to know Corey as well for the first several months that I was starting to transition as a producer. And yeah, Paul, I remember you talking about her a couple weeks ago. She was just a great, great co-host. She was wonderful to see in the mornings. And so, yeah, I think I started in early 2014, I think.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And so what was your, let's stick with you for a moment, Susanna. What was your favorite thing about producing?
Yeah, I loved knowing what was happening in our local church. That was such a blast for me. And just being in the studio was such a joy. I know now, you know, I don't think there's any in-person in studio guests, but I love being able to meet the people we are interviewing, and of course hearing their segment on the radio was great, but also in the studio you have about, you know, 20 minutes to an hour with them before the show, and you really get to hear their story and in more depth. And I loved having a pulse on what was going on in our archdiocese. And we also had the possibility to interview some really awesome guests as well. I think that was really exciting for me. I know one time we had an interview with Bishop Robert Barron, and it was always so good to hear from Bishop Cousins and Archbishop Hedda. Just, yeah, a lot of great memories there. Even, I remember we interviewed a Cistercian nun from Madison, Wisconsin, Sister Bede.
Mm-hmm.
And after the show, she sent me a thank you note for having her on. And yeah, I love just being connected to everything that was going on and hearing about all the awesome ministries.
Yeah, well, that's certainly true. There was a lot of connection there that happened behind the scenes that I think our listeners don't necessarily often get a little window into. But yes, it's amazing how many times I will get emails from listeners, from guests who will say, thank you so much for having me on. It was great. And then even, you know, there's connections that are built that way. You know, now the show finds itself under the Office of Communications, but of course, initially it was spawned off of the Office of Evangelization, as we talked about already. Crystal, what ways is radio, but maybe even specifically the Rediscover Hour, how is it a good outlet for the practice of evangelization and sharing the good news of Jesus?
Right. So my fondest memories were sitting with you and Susanna and me in our office huddled together brainstorming about how we can bring this show in an evangelistic way. We had multiple conversations about how to make sure that we weren't just being a calendar show, you know, having
right.
guests on about their specific events or parishes, but also probing deep into those stories and finding the evangelistic component, which there always is one. And I think that we did a great job, like Susanna has highlighted. You know, that was also so beautiful. I learned so much about the depth and breadth of God's reach and the beauty and diversity that the Holy Spirit brings to multiple ways, you know, to reach people. The Holy Spirit doesn't have a one-size-fits-all, that's for sure. And all these beautiful initiatives that are in our local church right here in our archdiocese, it was so great to hear them. And we had just multiple things we could, you know, we're just going on for several years now, and we're still coming up with some beautiful new things to bring to share. And that's really what evangelization is sharing Jesus Christ with others. And I think the radio does that so well. And now I know we got it started with you and Susanna and I to get it on Facebook and social media. And I know Cami has taken that torch and the communications office and doing a great job with that, because we need to really meet people where they are. And they're on social media a lot, and we can use that to shine the light of Christ through the technology.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was a great move, Suzanne. I got to say, the brilliant move. I don't understand it. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. I don't understand it, but people like to watch radio interviews. Although we don't have that capability right now because we're not in studio, there's something about it. People tuned in, and then we could see that people were watching really, again, as we've heard so many times during this pandemic, all over the world. They were watching the little conversations we would have in the studio of Relevant Radio there in Golden Valley. So a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Susanna, let me ask you, what's been any memorable shows for you, any memorable guests that have really stood out to you or something that's stuck with you?
Yeah, I think two memories that especially stick out. One was the interview we did with the Real Project, REEL.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you interviewed Casey Stanley, who is the director and founder, and Gretchen Lutke, who was on the board at the time, and their mission was to they would film videos for foster children to help them find a home, and they really just wanted to reach every single foster child in the state of Minnesota and help find them a home, and I was just really impacted by, you know, all of their hard work in that. I think also one of the really fun memories I have is when Catholics at the Capitol was going on and you and I ran around doing live video interviews.
Yep.
It was like all boots on the ground, running from person to person, trying to get live interviews from people attending, and also, you know, trying to snag the bishops and we could to get a couple minutes with them. That was a lot of fun.
That was. I remember that well. Yeah, it was, like you said, boots on the ground, the live reporter on scene, going throughout the Catholics at the Capitol and interviewing people. Also, another great way of doing what we were just talking about, how it really has, the show has provided this sense of connection with other members of the Archdiocese, seeing the diversity of the church here locally. How about you, Crystal, in terms of shows or guests or anything like that that have really stuck out to you? Not struck out to you, but stuck out to you?
Right. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, there's so many. I could speak about so many. I loved hearing testimonies from people of how Jesus Christ changed their lives, and really impacted them. So there's multiple stories about that. But and I also am really proud about we decided to launch this Great Catholic Parish segment, and it was so fun to bring parishes in once a month and see the teamwork and then utilize that as a network for other parishes to learn from each other in an evangelistic way. But I wasn't there at the time for the show, but I just loved, and we giggled a lot about the story of the school children that came. I think they were talking about Cisco and how charming they were and how they were so articulate in speaking about the faith. Remember that, Patrick?
Yes.
Yeah. It was
just
fun.
It's fascinating to have the kids on the show. Like you mentioned, Susanna, I mean, yes, we've had some big names on the show, especially if they were coming to the Twin Cities. We would try to interview some big names and that sort of thing. But man, the kids are just great. It's always a blessing
great.
To have. Yeah,
and it's just out of mouths of little future saints. But I will share one more story.
Please,
Susanna mentioned Bishop Barron, and so it was always the producer when we were in studio that would call the guests and then have them wait until they were ready to go on air. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, when Susanna was producing and Bishop Barron was going to be the guest. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be stepping in and substituting as the producer. I get to call Bishop Barron. Ooh, I have to call Bishop Barron. Oh, I hope I don't cut him off and say something stupid.
Yep.
It was just so delightful to be, for that, little moment of he and I on the line chatting a bit, and what a delightful gift he is to our church and the great things evangelistically that he has been doing. So we were blessed to have him as a guest on the show, and you were amazing with him. So it was good.
Well, yeah, it is always a good time to have these people again that maybe have a bit more name recognition around the, not just the Archdiocese, but around the country. But again, the show has functioned, I would say, well, both ways in having those types on, but also, just the people from the local community here who may not be known, but they are actively involved in the work of evangelization, in the work of making disciples in whatever way, whatever realm that God has called them to, which is just a huge blessing for me as a host, I'm sure. Well, we're nearly out of time here, but I want to express my sincere thanks to both of you, of course, for all the work that you have done with the Rediscover Hour as well, and certainly know that as we transition into becoming practicing Catholic now, certainly everything that we've done, the work that you've done, will continue on as we continue in the Rediscover Hour as well. Susanna, let me ask you just before we go, anything we can pray for you for in the coming Christmas season as well as in the new year?
Yeah, I mean, just continue to just that my family would continue following the lead of the Holy Spirit in our lives and just really feel His presence and know how He's directing us to move forward. But I'm also going to take that opportunity where at the stake to give a shout out to Mary May, because she has been huge for the show. And I just wanted to say thank you, Mary, because every Friday I'd walk in and there'd be, coffee prepared and ready to go, and she'd bring in treats for us every once in a while. And I just wanted to give a shout out to Mary May because she's awesome. Always so prepared.
Amen to that.
I know that. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
How about you, Crystal? A quick prayer request from you?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Well, always, pray for if you've got extra prayers for our family and our grandchildren, our growing family, but also, the families of our archdiocese and all the hurting families that are out there, that we can continue to serve and help each other as we work through this difficult time. And, pray for all those young people that, may be feeling lost and disconnected, that as we come out of this, that we can reach them even greater and stronger as a church together.
Amen to that. Well, let me tell you, Crystal Crocker, Susanna Parent, this is your last time on the Rediscover Hour. However, I am quite certain that we'll be speaking to you again on Practicing Catholic. So stay with us, keep listening, and thank you for all your work. God bless you both.
Wonderful. Thank you.
All right, we're going to head into our next break. When we come back, we've got Barbara Dries and Elizabeth Hollett with us to talk about Cathedral Illuminated, seeing the story of Christmas projected on the facade of our great cathedral. Stay with us.
Kenny says towards the end of his email, by the way, Drew, there is no God. If there were, and he was a loving God, my aunt wouldn't have gotten MS. Innocent children wouldn't get cancer. Stop the nonsense. Pretty much what he says. April's listening to us in Minnesota. Hi, April.
I just wanted to comment on that. I have MS. I have back problems. I got so many issues. I've become closer to God through my minimal suffering in comparison to what Jesus did for us. It is only because of Relevant Radio that I know how to recognize how my suffering is a blessing from God.
Faustina wrote one day, the Lord gave me to understand what unimaginable glory awaits the person who resembles the suffering of Jesus here on earth. I just say to you, suffer well, okay? United to that of the Lord.
The Divine Mercy Chaplet, part of the Drew Mariani Show.
4 p.m. Eastern, 1 Pacific on Relevant Radio. Talk radio for a Catholic life.
Peace is flowing like a river, flowing out of you and me.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cami Berthume, my producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. Joining me now, Barbara Dries is a retired registered nurse. She's been a cathedral tour guide and curator for the Cathedral Heritage Foundation for 10 years. She and her husband, Dave, have 4 adult children and 10 grandchildren. Welcome, Barbara. Good to speak with you.
Hello, Patrick. It's delightful to be on. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And Elizabeth Hollett currently pursues independent project work looking for unique and artistic ways of uniting people and ideas. And so she was really tuned into this Cathedral Illuminated project. She went to St. Mary's College of Notre Dame, Indiana to study business and French, and then received her master's in international business from the University of St. Thomas. She and her husband moved here to the Twin Cities over 30 years ago from New York and have 4 children. Welcome to you, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much, Patrick. I'm really pleased to be with you today.
I'm really grateful that you're both here. All right, so I'm guessing that many, many, many of our listeners here in the local Twin Cities area have seen, because you've done a really great job at promoting this, have seen some promotion about Cathedral Illuminated. But just in case, why don't we start with you, Barbara? What is Cathedral Illuminated?
Well, actually, I think Elizabeth is the better person to start with, because she is really the person who is instrumental with a few other people to bring it over from England. So, Elizabeth, I'm going to hand the baton to you on that one.
Okay, sure, Barbara. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, the Cathedral Illuminated, the manger, is going to be a large-scale light and sound projection on the facade of the Cathedral of St. Paul, and we are able to offer this as a drive-by only event. Fortunately, we did not have to cancel this show. So it's going to be a 12-minute illuminated story of the Nativity, very artistically crafted by a team of artists in Lichfield, England. And this is their U.S. debut for their sound and light projections.
Wow, amazing. And it's projected right there on the facade of the cathedral, you say, so it's really overlooking the city of St. Paul.
Yes, you'll be able to see it far and wide.
Wow, okay. I'm a little jealous that I'm no longer local to the Twin Cities area. I might have to just sneak up there or do something that way, too. But before we get there,
segue, I just have to tell you, it will be live streamed on the Cathedral Heritage Foundation for our friends near and far.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Well, I'm in then. That's wonderful.
this event is for far and wide, and we want everybody who's ever heard of the cathedral or anybody who just would love to be filled with some joy and wonder at this time, particularly with it such a difficult year, to see this beautiful show and receive some joy and peace.
Absolutely. Right. That's right in line with everything that has to do with the great gift that God has given us in his son, certainly at Christmas. Elizabeth, let me ask you one more question. Why was there a specific thought as to why to bring it to the cathedral specifically in the Twin Cities?
Oh, absolutely. I can get into the history of it, how I met this team a little bit later, but I am a lover of all things French, studied in France, and of course the big grand sound and Saint et Lumière shows have just been part of my fabric. And when I did see this particular show in Oxford, England 2 years ago, the large, it wasn't this show, but the team's sound and light show that was displayed on the Natural Museum of History in Oxford had enormous pictures of peoples from all over the world and messages of harmony and unity. And I immediately thought of the canvas of the white marble or Beaux-Arts Cathedral high on a hill in St. Paul, thinking this is visible to all people. What a better place to just welcome our community than in the big warmth of our Cathedral of St. Paul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't imagine that Archbishop Ireland actually had thoughts of something like this occurring on his great cathedral some back when he was first designing mm-hmm. it, putting it together. But I would say that he would be all in favor, as there's mm-hmm. so many details about the cathedral that point people to God anyway. Barbara, how did the cathedral first respond to this as a proposal?
Well, I believe it was first presented to the Heritage Foundation curators in the summertime, and I think there was a lot of excitement, but there was also some incredulity, like, wow, can we really pull this off? There's a lot of moving parts, as Elizabeth can attest to, and everything really did have to be lined up very carefully. Carolyn Will and our president, Mary Schaffner, or I should say chairperson Mary Schaffner, were very helpful in putting a lot of those pieces together. And the curators, after several meetings, really thought this would be a wonderful gift to our community, both near and far. And the more that we watched it, the more we thought that this is spectacular. And the fact that it was offered to us as a debut for the Lux Morales event for the United States, it seemed like a no-brainer. We've got to do this. We've got to pull the pieces together.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know the cathedral has been host for a number of, rightly so, a number of sort of archdiocesan events, or with a very large appeal that take quite a bit of planning and coordination. Even if it does take that planning and coordination, it's been a great decision to, I think, move forward with this. An excellent idea, and I look forward to seeing how it comes to pass. Let me go back to you just for a second, Elizabeth. Tell us a little bit about Lux Morales and your relationship with them and them as a company.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. Well, I alluded to visiting our son who is getting his graduate degrees in Oxford, and my husband and I were in Oxford in November 2018 and saw, as I mentioned, this enormous sound and light show. Well, they have the Festival of Lights early on in Europe. They start celebrating Christmas early, so all the townspeople are out, and it's just the whole feeling is light. It's just warmth. And anyhow, so I was watching this, and I turned around during the big spectacle, and just I followed the light beam to the tent. I was drawn to see who was behind all this. I was just filled with such hope myself, seeing these beautiful images, and thus began a hunt to create this relationship. I whispered in the back of the tent, "Who's in charge here?" And this young man with a hooded sweatshirt and hands in his pockets turned and said, "I am." So thankfully he gave me his card, and I was fortunate enough to meet first with the sound creator, David Harper, in Oxford. And then I just got on a train and I went up to Litchfield, and I wanted to see the church that I'd heard about. It's a three-spire medieval church in Litchfield, England, that David or Peter Walker, the sculptor and artist, projects his shows during the Christmas time. So anyhow, I have visited with them several times, established very good rapport, and there are many sound and light shows all over the world, but what this team brings is this beautiful reverence to the story of the stories of the Bible, and the warmth and the hope and the joy that they evoke, especially as Barbara had mentioned during this trying year. And they were very, very touched, particularly with the events in our community. So I think that there is that bridge of friendship across the ocean that they just felt the Cathedral of St. Paul is definitely the place where they chose to debut their work. It's regal, it's beautiful, it was built by immigrants, and the Cathedral Heritage Foundation has worked so hard to keep the building in pristine condition so that the entire community can enjoy the beauty and hopeful messaging that comes from that gorgeous edifice.
Yeah. Wonderful. Barbara, question for you. What sort of impact are you and the Cathedral Heritage Foundation, what sort of impact are you hoping that this the Cathedral Illuminated has on individuals, but also on the community of St. Paul?
Oh, that's a great question. I think we have a lot of wonderful hopes. Of course, we want to... it is the story of the manger. It is the story, the Christmas story itself. And I think that, of course, being on our beautiful cathedral, hopefully will get out that beautiful Christmas message, which is what this season is all about for Christians. And so that would be, I think, the number one. Number two, for people who might not have that faith tradition, I think we just really want people to know that there's so much that bonds us together as human beings, and we can all, as Archbishop Ireland did many, many years ago, he worked with immigrants of different faith traditions to help build the cathedral. And so we want to get that message out to all people of goodwill that let's work together and let's just spread peace together and get a message of joy and peace and start the year out well, as well as close this year off in a beautiful way.
Amen to that. Let's do start 2021 off on the right foot, which would include, I would think, focusing in on Emmanuel, on God with us, God given to us in the person of Jesus. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, certainly. Well, I'm just going to run through the details here, and feel free to jump in and tell me if I'm wrong on this. But so we've got December 17th, 18th, and 19th. That's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 6 to 9 p.m. This great 12-minute show will be projected on the facade of the cathedral. Our own cathedral, Cathedral of St. Paul, and people can drive by. I believe there will be police officers present to help direct traffic and everything. They can drive by and stay in the car and enjoy it from their own vehicle, so where it's warm and everything. There's a radio which will be broadcasting, 103.3 FM will be broadcasting the music that will go along with the light show as well. And as you mentioned, Elizabeth, that there is a free live stream as well on facebook.com/Cathedral Heritage Foundation. That's going to be from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Central each of those nights. So have I got all those details right?
Those details are perfect, Patrick. Thank you. What I'd just like to add.
Please.
Yes, thank you. Our intention was to offer this free of charge to our community. And thanks to the generosity of many of our corporate sponsors, we've been able to provide for this show. However, I would love to encourage anyone listening that if you like the show or if you like this idea, we are really hoping to make this the first of a tradition of many years to come. But to go ahead and contribute $10 if you could to the Cathedral Heritage Foundation, or it would greatly help the building be safe and free and available to all for many years. And we are definitely looking forward to a year where we can welcome people to walk around.
Yes.
And yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Well, thank you for that. Yep, you can visit cathedralheritagefoundation.org for the information on Cathedral Illuminated, as well as a place to make a donation. So, Barbara Breeze, Elizabeth Holland, thank you so much for joining us on The Rediscoverer. God bless you in the remainder of this Advent season and Christmas as well. And we'll be praying that Cathedral Illuminated goes really, really well. God bless.
Thank you, Patrick. It's great
thank
to be
you
here.
Thank you so much.
Yes,
we appreciate the opportunity.
All right.
Come see the show.
Yes.
Okay,
please
sounds good.
Bring Kendra.
Thank you. All right, so we're going to head into our final break. When we come back, Paul and I will have the details about Cathedral Illuminated, plus a few other things going on as we head into Christmas, so stay with us.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
When you can hear other people's stories of faith, stories of struggles, really helps me in my faith to know that I'm not alone. It doesn't matter where we are across the miles, we're all together as part of the body of Christ. That station has really blessed my life.
You just never know what you're going to hear on Relevant Radio that's going to help you on your path to heaven, to take you to that next level spiritually. There's always something new every single day with all of our hosts, with the three priests who answer your questions every day, with the other guests that we have. Your donation goes a long way to touching souls.
Donate now on the Relevant Radio website or app, or give us a call, 1-877-291-0123. That's 1-877-291-0123.
When you call, ask about making a recurring gift. There are benefits for both you and for Relevant Radio.
Love wash over a multitude of things. Love wash over.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hours. We're coming into Christmas. Give everyone a gift they can appreciate. If you're going to Mass, wear your mask. And if an in-person Mass isn't for you this Christmas, visit archspm.org/COVID-19 for alternatives, along with some special Advent and Christmas resources.
And you can always hear daily Mass and devotions right here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. Start your day in prayer and reflection with Daybreak at 4 a.m. Listen to daily Mass at noon and 7:30 p.m. Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 with Drew Mariani. And don't forget the Family Rosary across America at 7 p.m. Sunday Mass at 9 a.m. and noon, and Christmas Midnight Mass at the Cathedral of St. Paul will be broadcast live on Relevant Radio 1330, beginning 11:50 p.m. on Christmas Eve.
And as we heard about on the show today, if you're listening on Friday or Saturday, you can still catch Cathedral Illuminated. If you're listening on Sunday, check out facebook.com/Cathedral Heritage Foundation for some video. This is the U.S. debut by the award-winning British company Lux Morales. From 6 to 9 p.m. December 17th through 19th, drive along in front of the cathedral to watch as the story of Christmas is projected onto the cathedral. Information is available on archspm.org/events.
There's one more recital left in the virtual organ recital series presented by Holy Cross Catholic Church of Northeast Minneapolis. The last program will be broadcast online this Sunday, December 20th, 5:30 to 6:15 p.m. Recitals are free to the public. Donations encouraged. For more information and the link to watch, visit archspm.org/events.
And be sure to check out archspm.org/events for other upcoming events around the Archdiocese. And you can still sign up to receive local evangelization updates. Go to archspm.org/evangelization and enter your email address.
And remember, there's still a synod going on. Visit archspm.org/synod for all sorts of information, resources, videos, and more for our Archdiocesan Year of St. Joseph, the Healing and Hope Virtual Retreat, and the Praying with Scripture series.
Yeah, and don't forget to follow Rediscover Faith on Facebook and Evangelization Archspm on Instagram. I'm so used to saying archspm.org that I nearly slipped it in there with that one as well.
It works.
Yeah, well, I'm sure people will end up in the right spot anyway.
Eventually. Yeah.
Yeah. Eventually, that's right. Great stuff coming up with the Synod. I'm sure we'll be talking about more about that with Practicing Catholic, but as we wind up this show, we've got one more Rediscover Hour left. As we're gearing up for the Christmas season, the last one will be a special one. We'll have Bishop Cousins on, also Allison Spees from Archdiocese Archives, and Father Michael Jonkas, composer of On Eel's Wings, on the hymn he's written as a prayer during this time of pandemic. That's all coming up on the next and last Rediscover Hour. Thanks for continuing to listen, folks. In the meantime, have a blessed Advent. End your Advent. Go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday afternoon at 1, and Sunday afternoon at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.